due to technical difficulties, we are airing a best of. Please stand by as soon as the issue is resolved. We'll interrupt the programming.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We do appreciate it. The phone number here for your phone calls later in the program, 800-989-1480. This has been a bad weekend for American soldiers and for Iraqi civilians. Now, let me rephrase that. This has been a horrifying weekend. Black Hawk helicopter, U.S. helicopter shot down by a missile, car bombs, insurgents disguised as U.S. troops, hundreds and hundreds dead and wounded, more troops on the way into this meat machine. The only thing surging in Iraq is the river of blood down the streets. We have some comments to share with you tonight from Tony Snow, the press secretary, Ted Kennedy, and Senator John Warner today all weighed in on Iraq, Bush's horrible failures. Also, some quotes from Ted Kennedy on the Meet the Press yesterday. John Warner speaking today as this Republican former chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee tries to dance around the fact that his party is headed by a psychopathic, out-of-control killer. That would be George Bush. Speaking of this freak, he has to face a Democratic majority tomorrow night for the first time in his State of the Union address. It will be interesting to watch for the facial tics and slurred words. You know, he'll have all his meds chock-a-block inside his punkin' little head. Now, the way it'll work tomorrow night, we'd like you to join us on Nova M Radio for about 6 hours of live coverage beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time with a special three-hour, I don't know, you call it pre-game show of sorts with KPHX's host, radio host Jeff Farias. And then join me at the usual time, 9 p.m. Eastern, for an uninterrupted hour of commercial-free State of the Union coverage. What the hell was that? It's like it's like sitting here listening to some Cyber Malloy somewhere. Just join me tomorrow night for the State of the Union. What? I'm going mad. I'm having a complete breakdown. It's Bush. Good evening, Truth Seekers. About 10 past the hour. Yeah, we had some kind of a technical screw up there right at the beginning of the show, but not to worry. It's live and in living color right now, so with any luck, we'll stay on the air for another 10, 12 minutes, and then we'll lose whatever the hell we lost here. See, this is what happens when you try to do radio where, part of you is in one state, and part of you is in another state, and part of you is doesn't know where in the hell it is, and it just, stuff happens, as Dick Cheney says. Good evening. Welcome to the program. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Have you heard? House Judiciary Chairman John Conyers is going to hold a hearing. Yes, he is. January 31st. Hey, have you heard? Senator Russ Feingold is going to hold a hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee. What? What? Wait a second. I thought all this stuff was off the table. Not necessarily so. The first Judiciary Committee in the House is set for January 31st. The first one in the Senate, I believe, is set for the day before on January 30th. Feingold, the hearings are going to, the topic will be Congress's power to end a war. In a media advisory just released, thanks to Brad at Brad Blog for this, Feingold refers to Congress's power of the purse to redeploy our troops safely from Iraq so that we can refocus on the global terrorist networks that threaten our national security, end quote. Feingold says in the release, quote, this hearing will help inform my colleagues and the public about Congress's power to end a war and how that power has been used in the past. I will soon be introducing legislation to use the power of the purse to end what is clearly one of the greatest mistakes in the history of our nation's foreign policy, end quote. Oh, and by the way, as Brad points out at BradBlog, neither of these constitutionally mandated oversight hearings will be held in a basement broom closet, but rather in proper congressional hearing rooms. Remember the basement broom closet John Conyers was banished to back in June of 05? Remember that? Huh? Huh? John Conyers, the veteran of the Nixon impeachment hearings, recently had a book published on Bush's crimes, announced today his plans to have the House Judiciary Committee hold hearings on Bush's rampant use of so-called signing statements. These are the documents that Bush has claimed gives him power as a commander-in-chief to ignore everybody else. The government, the other two branches of government, his mama, well, he doesn't ignore his mama. That blood-sucking old woman beats him and flays him, and he considers himself above the law. This is truly, truly a man who has zero respect for the law. Part of the reason is the law has never caught up with him, not once, in his useless, coke-sniffing life. Not once has the law ever caught up with him, so why should he be concerned? Bush has used his bogus signing statements to ignore all or parts of some 1,200 laws passed by Congress. He's done it willfully. He's done it deceptively. Well, this is going to be much fun. Let's see if Cheney will get into the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer and bust his ass again, about this sort of stuff, huh? That sound we played last night for you, I don't know if we were the first ones to really have all that out there other than the actual broadcast, but that's been all over network news today. I mean, it's just become a theme. Not network, I'm talking about cable. Networks don't give a damn about any of this stuff. They've got products to sell. But it really has caused a bit of a stir, has it not, Truth Seekers? Poor Wolf Blitzer. We are going to we're going to be using that sound for a long time. Oh, all I meant was I like your daughter. I like your daughter. Is Blitzer dead yet, Kathy? Do you know? Have you gotten any reports? Has he been executed yet, or have a car wreck, or eat poison fish, or anything? Nothing has happened yet. Damn, I thought he would be dead by noon today. I really did. All right, we have lots of interesting things for you tonight. Plus, we're going to focus heavily on your phone calls, because last night you all didn't get a chance to do squat. By the way, the Bush crime family is asking Congress for $10 billion more, this time for Afghanistan. Huh? That will be on top of the $14 billion the U.S. has already given to Afghanistan. Now, what have we gotten for the... do you know how much $14 billion? Condoleezza Hopeless said of that total, $10.6 billion, $8.6 billion would be for the training and equipping the Afghan police and security forces. Oh, here we go again. And $2 billion would go immediately to Halliburton. Oops, no. $2 billion would be for reconstruction. Oh, my God. All right. When we come back, we want you to hear Chuck Hagel say what Dennis Kucinich has been saying for about 3 or 4 years now. But at least Hagel is now saying it. And everybody is just all a Twitter because this Republican has come out and stated what Dennis Kucinich and a few rational Democrats have been saying for a couple of years. Not that I'm busting up on Hagel. More power to him. I'm glad he finally woke up. We'll play it for you when we come back. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
A soldier of an angry call. Soldiers on foreign soil. Well, we're not here to fight your war.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
Yes, please do not understand. I am not being overly nasty or cynical about Chuck Hagel's, what Chuck Hagel had to say. When was it, yesterday, Kathy? Not at all. I noticed most of that. 99% of it never made it onto the evening news either, and there's a reason for that, because it's apostasy to say what he said. You can't do that in America. You can't say the things that Chuck Hagel is saying. So, you know, I don't worry as much about him as I worry about Wolf Blitzer, because Hagel is a combat veteran, and if Cheney comes after Hagel, Hagel will just shoot him down in the street like a dog. I mean, come on, that's a given. But what Hagel is saying is not, excuse me, all that different from what Dennis Kucinich started saying how long ago. And anytime Kucinich would bring this stuff up, he would immediately be marginalized as some kind of a freak or a creep, or look, he's short, or nobody cares. Didn't the Ohio River catch on fire one time, or the Cuyahoga River, or some, you know, that kind of crap. And that's, I guess that's what pisses me off. And it really, 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 really does. Because this is not new. What Hagel is saying is not new. Now, the fact that it's a Republican, that's what makes it newsworthy. And a Republican of Chuck Hagel's, I don't want to say stature as much as I want to say his experience. He knows what he's talking about. Why he hasn't said anything up to now, that's a legitimate a concern also. But that's kind of like... you know, being the skunk at the picnic, right? If these guys are starting to come out of the ether, two or three of them now, and on the Republican side, and Chuck Hagel is the designated hitter, if he's one, and a little bit of John Warner, the senile old bastard from Virginia, who every time he talks, I get the feeling he's chewing the inside of his mouth. It looks like either his face dew is slipping or his teeth are slipping. I mean, I've got nothing against age. Jesus, I hope I get old someday. Someday. But to see, you know, if I were, how old is Warner? 90? 110? I would not be sitting there in a position of utter and absolute power at that age. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't believe in mandatory retirement. I really don't. Unless it's like an airline pilot or something. But for Warner and Hagel, Warner is so tepid, if you stuck your toe in him, you'd hardly know you were sticking your toe in anything. What? But Hagel is really chomping on some ass here. He really is. And I'm not quite sure why, because, Chuck, nothing has changed. Remember that day, Kathy, we were in D.C. and we ran into him coming out of the one of those office buildings. We stood there and talked to him for a couple of minutes. There is nothing coming out of Hagel's mouth that he couldn't have said last year, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. You understand what I'm saying here? Hagel's not a stupid man. Warner, I don't know from John Warner. I just know he's a rich white male Virginian who used to be married to Elizabeth Taylor, and likes to pretend he's, you know, I'm a gentleman farmer, and you know, this old boy from Virginia. Now the fact that my great great granddaddy owned slaves doesn't really mean all that much. You know, these white Southerners that just infest the United States Senate. And you can't get rid of them. It's a lifetime tenure when they get elected. First time they get elected. I'm not talking about Jim Webb. Webb's from Virginia, too. That's different. Webb is a normal human being. He may be a bit too conservative for me, but he's a normal human being. But I digress. Chuck Hagel. We might as well wait now until after the break, Kathy, because I want to take these in straight sequence, because he says some pretty powerful stuff. I'll tell you what, I got an email here from Roz in Canada. Hi, Mike. Look, can you please tell me why, when the president speaks, his audience feels it's necessary to applaud every little thing he says, no matter how imbecilic, and they annoyingly applaud every other sentence? In no other country do you see such juvenile behavior. Another point I want to bring up is the preponderance of flags. Everywhere you go in the States, you see flags galore on houses, cars, stores, everywhere. It's almost like the people are being brainwashed. In speech, people always refer to the American people as opposed to just saying the people. Similarly, when speaking of good values, they say these values belong to the American people. They're American values, as though no other people around the world hold the same humanistic values. The people seem to be too patriotic and have been taught that they alone are the heaven-sent, the Americans, the lucky ones of the world, and their land and way of life have to be preserved at all costs, even to the degradation of others. I have always been baffled about this till the other day. I heard somebody on the radio voice my same queries and then come to the conclusion that Americanism is like a religion more than merely a nationality. And then Roz, a regular correspondent of ours, goes on to say she really, you know, she likes Americans. She appreciates what we are and what we do. But boy, do I agree. I get so sick of seeing American flags. Roz, you ought to live here in Georgia. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Six before the hour, I had to cut Roz's email a little abrupt there. Pretty much got in what she wrote, one of our listeners in Canada. She finished up by saying, just some food for thought, Mike. I'm not being critical of your great land. In fact, I was in Denver and Washington, D.C. just recently and found the people to be very friendly and cooperative. On my return to Canada, I had to go through Miami and Houston, Jeb and George land. That made me a bit nervous, but my jitters were unfounded. And she adds, I will look into buying a membership on Nova M. Bless your heart. Yeah, do that. We encourage founders. By the way, I've had several requests for the mailing address to join Nova M's Founders Club. Not everyone wants to pay by credit card on or you know, go through PayPal. And I don't blame you. So you can join by mail. Make your check to Nova M Radio. Now, I'll tell you what. Get something to write with, all right, because I've got an address for you. David wrote in, without hesitation, Mike, I had to join the Founders Club that brought back the Mike Malloy Show, the show that unplugged me from the matrix of Rebushikins, thanks to you and Nova M. Thank you, David. You got something to write with? Make your check to Nova M Radio, and then send it to Nova M Radio, care of Founders Club, 824 East Washington. Phoenix, 85034. and include your phone number, and you'll be called back with an access code to download the programs and podcasts. We'll put this up on our website. Go to MikeMalloy.com. We'll have this up there. You can get it for a friend that way, too. You know, like a gift subscription. All right, I want you to hear Hegel. We'll come back to that. I'll give the address again. Yeah, we listen, let me tell you something real quick. We are pushing this. Founders memberships, we really are. We want the network to stay viable. This money is not used for my paycheck. That's, that's a given before I ever signed a contract with this network. That's not what you're subscribing to. You are signing up for the entire Nova M radio network. I happen to come along as part of that package. But this is like an absolute vital. I don't want to hammer it too hard because I don't want to irritate anybody. But if you want to see Nova and continue, this is one way you can do it. I'm not saying if you don't buy a Founders Club membership, network will sink. It won't. But the Founders Club members will have access to aspects of this network as we grow that. Folks who just tune in, bless their hearts, simply won't have. And this is really critical to the startup of this network. So if you feel that it's a good deal, $10 a month or $100 a year, get on board, okay? Just do it. You can do it via the internet by going to novamradio.com, and I'll give you the address again where you can mail in a check if you want to. Chuck Hegel. First, Hegel describes the constitutional obligation Congress has to question the sick son-of-a-bitch's Iraq policy, George W. Bush.
We are Article 1 of the Constitution. We have a constitutional responsibility as well as a moral responsibility to this country. The young men and women we ask to go fight and die in their families, they deserve a policy equal to their sacrifice. In my opinion, the opinion of others may be in this body, we do not now have that policy. To ask these people to go out and lay their lives on the line, for what? My dear friend Dick Lugar talks about unintended consequences. Well, let's start with the unintended consequence of how we got into this 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good starting place, Senator Hegel. And again, with all due respect, Chuck, you might want to go to Dennis Kucinich's website and take a look at some of the things he's been saying over the past 4 years about this filthy war. Just a starting point, Chuck. That's all. I realize you're coming out of the ether, and some of your Republican cohorts are coming out of the ether, and that's wonderful, and I applaud it. And I will make takebacks in what I've said about dumbass Republicans. I certainly believe in redemption. If somebody is standing on the lip of hell, so to speak, and at the last minute they decide they don't want to go there, I'll stick my hand out and say, welcome home, brother. Come here. Let's pray by the cross. So whatever you say, Chuck. But just remember, Dennis Kucinich has been through this on his own, being made a mockery of for the past 4 years. Let's everybody try to keep that in mind as we celebrate Chuck Hagel's awakening. Hegel then asked the senators who didn't even want to debate on a non-binding resolution, he asked what they were doing in the Senate to begin with. If they're so weak, they couldn't even tolerate a debate of issues like Bush's Iraq policy, which is causing Americans, Iraqis, to die every day, then what the hell are they doing there? Hegel again.
Can't we debate the most critical issue of our time out front in front of the American people? They expect it. Are we so weak we can't do that? This is not a defeatist resolution. This is not a cut-and-run resolution. We are not talking about cutting off funds, not supporting the troops. This is a very real, responsible addressing of the most divisive issue in this country since Vietnam. Yes, sure, it's tough. Absolutely. And I think all 100 senators ought to be on the line on this. What do you believe? What are you willing to support?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Why are you elected? Mm-hmm. If you wanted a safe job, go sell shoes. This is a tough business. But is it any tougher, us having to take a tough vote, express ourselves, and have the courage to step up, than what we're asking our young men and women to do? I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it amazing what an election will do to give certain members of the Republican Party some backbone. And I'm surprised at Hagel. I realize Hagel has got kind of a sleazy background, but he's a combat veteran. He understands what it's like. And he also, he could not have gotten to the point he's gotten to in his life without realizing that the Gulf of Tonkin resolution was a goddamn lie. And as a result of that lie, 58,000 Americans and 2.5 million Indochinese were killed. Hagel then expresses his disbelief that Bush even has a new plan for Iraq. He says he knows for a fact that the Pentagon hasn't even sent this to the B team in Iraq to implement. He then asks, what is worthy of Senate debate if not the lives of our troops? And he says, if we fail our country if we don't have the debate.
I don't know how many United States senators believe we have a coherent strategy in Iraq. I don't think we've ever had a coherent strategy. In fact, I would even challenge the administration today to show us the plan that the president talked about the other night. There is no plan. I happen to know Pentagon planners were on their way to the CENTCOM over the weekend. They haven't even team B'd this plan. And my dear friend Dick Lugar talks about coherence of strategy. There is no strategy. This is a ping pong game with American lives. These young men and women that we put in Anbar province, in Iraq, in Baghdad are not beans. They're real lives. And we better be damn sure we know what we're doing, all of us, before we put 22,000 more Americans into that grinder. We better be as sure as you can be. And I want every one of you, every one of us, 100 senators, to look in that camera and you tell your people back home what you think. Don't hide anymore. None of us. That is the essence of our responsibility. And if we're not willing to do it, we're not worthy to be seated right here. We fail our country. If we don't debate this, we are not worthy of our country.
Good point, Chuck. Finally, Hagel talks about how the many Bush failures have made us less safe in America, weakened our global reputation. And a true bipartisan diplomatic and political solution was available in the Baker-Hamilton report, which Bush totally ignored.
Does it get better if we don't talk about it? Is that what we're thinking here? Well, let's just don't talk about a resolution. Let's don't have a resolution. It'll get better. Well, all I would do is point to the last 4 years. Are things better in the Middle East today?
Uh-huh.
No, they're more dangerous today in the Middle East than they've ever been. I challenge anyone to question that. We hear that from our panelists. Every day we have hearings, whether it's Iran, whether it's Lebanon, whether it's Syria, whether it's Iraq. It is far more dangerous than we've ever seen. We have totally destroyed our standing and reputation and influence in the Middle East. And this is not about isolationism. This is not about pulling American troops out of the Middle East. None of that. This is about a smart way to project our military using the comprehensive framework of diplomacy as part of that. That's exactly what the Baker-Hamilton Commission was about. The 79 recommendations, and I would recommend that those of you who have not read those 79 recommendations should read them. These were from 10 very eminent Republicans and Democrats that came up with these recommendations. There's where we should go back to. There's where the bipartisan consensus is to go forward.
Well, I can respectfully disagree with that last part. But it is good to hear Hagel. He almost used the F word there. Did you hear that? He came real close to using the F word. And one can certainly understand why, huh? Stick around. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M.
There's mean things happen in this world. There's mean things happening in this world.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. President Bush will ask Congress for $10.6 billion to help Afghanistan strengthen its security forces and rebuild from years of war. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said Thursday the money would be on top of the $14.2 billion in aid the United States has already given Afghanistan since the U.S.-led invasion in 2001. Jesus. There are about 24,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan, and Cheney and Bush and the rest of these evil sons of bitches are seeking to increase that number. They want as much death as they can possibly get before they, you know, clear the way for their oil business once they are thrown out of office. Email here from, excuse me, Wally about Chuck Hagel. Hi, Mike. I also listened happily to Hagel yesterday and found myself admiring the candor of this Republican. But I cautioned myself not to get too giddy, so I checked the vote for the minimum wage increase yesterday. Sure enough, Hagel voted against it. These stinking snakes will break your heart every time, Wally. You're probably right on, Wally, but let me tell you that some Democrats voted against it, too, for the simple reason that the Republicans had added an amendment, or several amendments, for more tax breaks for the wealthy, in order to give the working people in this country at the bottom of the totem pole a little extra boost. So I don't know if Hagel voted against it on a matter of Republican principle, which is screw everybody, give me mine, or if he voted against it because he thought it was unfair in that it required more tax breaks for wealthy people. Sometimes a Republican can have not a complete 180, but a slight change here. Look at Lou Dobbs on CNN. Okay, now don't look at him about his immigration stuff. Although a lot of people agree with him on that too. I'm talking about his taking up the cause of the middle class in this country and how it's been screwed and hammered and beaten by the Bush crime family. And, you know, you can go back 3, 4, 5 years ago. Lou Dobbs is no more interested in working class Americans or middle class Americans than he was interested in having bamboo shoots pushed under his fingernails. So it can happen, Wally. This is from Tom regarding the flags. Mike, my grandfather was sent to Berlin on business in 1938. Somehow he was able to take some home movies on the street. We used to watch them occasionally as a kid, and I was always intrigued that there were Nazi flags everywhere, on street corners, from every balcony and windows and storefronts. After 9/11, the most chilling thing for me was the American flags everywhere, right here where I live, on houses and storefronts, on half the cars on the road, printed large in the newspaper. It still freaks me out. Tom, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's like the word patriot. Patriot used to be a nice word. I can remember as a kid growing up, we were taught about patriots, not just Washington, but also Eisenhower, MacArthur, whoever. And then over the next 3-4 decades, I watched the word patriot be turned into something hateful and jingoistic and usually having to do with dying for the blood of Jesus or something, or killing queers, or keep the Negroes in place. It was totally perverted, the word patriot. And then when they came up with the Patriot missile, I just about lost it. The corruption of language in this country has been astonishing. Just astonishing. I don't know. I'm still trying to process what Hagel said. If you saw that, there were a couple of things we didn't take sound from. We may maybe next week or maybe tomorrow. But he was he really got into it with Richard Lugar. That's why, you know, you can usually tell how pissed off they are when they depend. The determining factor is how hard they come down on my friend, my good friend from Indiana, Richard Lugar, my good friend from Ohio. My good friend, you know, that when members of the House or the Senate do that, you know, that phony, fake-ass 18th century nod to courtesy, you know, parliamentary courtesy, it usually means that they are just despise the person they're calling their good friend, or at least despise what they said. There was a column in the journal, the Atlanta newspaper, here by Rosa Brooks, who's a professor at Georgetown University Law Center. It was entitled, "Give Thanks, Iraqis, U.S. Wrecked Your Lives." I don't know how you can get this. I guess you can go to AJC.com. It was in a couple of days ago. "Give Thanks, Iraqis, U.S. Wrecked Your Lives." Rosa Brooks, professor at Georgetown University Law Center. But she was commenting on how Bush appeared on 60 Minutes January 14th and on Sunday, and Scott Pelley asked Bush, "Do you think you owe the Iraqi people an apology for not doing a better job?" And Bush retorted that we didn't do a better job, or they didn't do a better job. We liberated that country from a tyrant. I think the Iraqi people owe the American people a huge debt of gratitude. We've endured great sacrifice to help them. We wonder whether or not there is a gratitude level that's significant enough in Iraq. End quote. Jesus God. Yeah, what have we done for them? Before the invasion, Baghdad used to have 16 to 24 hours of electricity each day. Today, thanks to us, they're being very thrifty. They get it maybe 4 hours a day. The Iraqis were also conserving, are conserving now fossil fuels. That's right. Oil production is still well below pre-war levels. And recognizing that auto emissions are a major contributor to global warming, a symbolically important number of Iraqis has gone from driving cars to detonating their cars. Now, that's dedication, isn't it? We've also helped them address the problem of urban overcrowding. 34,000 of them killed in 2006. Another 2 million been forced to leave their country. We're doing it. I don't, you know, why aren't they more grateful? Who knows? Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. We're going to play for you the back and forth from 60 Minutes between Scott Pelley and Chucklenuts. As Rosa Brooks pointed out in the column I was sharing with you right before the break, if we weren't spending $200 billion a year to help the Iraqi people, we could, for instance, be funding universal health care, $100 billion a year. Universal preschool program, $35 billion a year. It just goes on and on. It is brutal what this Bush crime family has done. It is just brutal. And speaking of the crime family, thinkprogress.org points out I believe this was in the Sun Myung Moon newspaper, the Washington Times. Rumsfeld is still operating inside the Defense Department. On January 4th, after he'd been fired, Rumsfeld opened a government-provided transition office in Arlington. He has seven Pentagon-paid staffers working for him. The Pentagon lists Rumsfeld as a, quote, non-paid consultant, end quote, a status he needs in order to review secret and top-secret documents. Why is he reviewing top-secret anything? The son of a bitch was forced out. Or was he? Or was he? The reports say that Rumsfeld has brought with him his close advisor, the neo-Nazi Stephen Cambone. He was the chief planner of the torture tactics at military and CIA detention sites around the world. Stephen Cambone, he's like O'Brien in 1984. He's a torture advocate. Somebody ought to apply to Stephen Cambone the same tactics he applies or recommends and designs for soldiers or CIA agents to apply to other human beings, right? Rumsfeld's new office, it says here, is reportedly raising eyebrows at the Pentagon. A Pentagon official said former secretaries are entitled to transition office to sort papers, some of which should be taken with them for a library or for archives to write a book. But they're questioning the size of the staff, which includes two military officers and two enlisted men. They also ask why this sorting could not have been done from the time Mr. Rumsfeld, quote, resigned, end quote, November 8th, to when he left the building December 18th. Rumsfeld's predecessors, William Cohen and William Perry, both returned to private life immediately after leaving the Defense Department. Cohen had, quote, two military personnel sort through his papers for about 6 weeks, end quote, while Perry had his papers mailed via compact disc to Stanford University. They're like cockroaches, silverfish, vermin. They don't go away. You think Karl Rove has disappeared? Good God. So there he is. All right. Let's take a look at the... Let's listen to what you've got to say. We're going to do some phone calls tonight. Chris is calling from Berkeley, California. Hey, Chris. Is Chris there? Hey, Chris. Chris is not there. All right, we lost Chris. Let's go to Carl in Chicago. Carl, welcome to the program. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Is this Southside Carl?
Southside Carl.
Man, haven't heard from you in forever.
Yeah, well, I decided to go to your site and see where you at and found you.
Well, I'm glad you did. Well, welcome back to the madness.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right, Carl.
Yeah, it's good to hear you. Know you're working again.
Yeah, that's right. It beats the hell out of unemployment, pal.
Yes, it does. Hey, I was looking at the news today, man, and I don't know what's wrong with my party, man. They're getting a gift dropped in their lap about this Scooter Libby thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they did on what's his name on MSNBC, the guy who used to be on SportsCenter.
Oberman?
Yeah, Oberman. He was about the only one that sort of like put it to a point that, well, hey, here you have Dick Cheney on Meet the Press saying, well, I don't really know who Joe Wilson is.
right.
So who? And now we find out that, well, one of his assistants and everybody is saying, well, this is their number one concern.
Right.
That this guy's writing talking points.
Right.
On how to discredit American citizens.
Right.
That he even goes even farther where his assistant, I forgot the lady, I'm not sure if it was Martin, she's testifying that, well, in one of these talking points, he had concerns that he was using classified information to do the dirty job.
Sure, sure.
And my party ain't picking up on the fact that, well, hey, now we got, you know, confirmation that the guy is a flat-out liar.
Right.
And that he's maybe compromising classified information that he was told that, well, this lady worked in a sensitive position that could jeopardize our intelligence. It's concerning the proliferation of nuclear materials and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what more you want as far as, like, well, thinking about, well, impeachment.
Well, I don't know if you were listening to the first part of the program, but we have two reports. I think one from the way I picked them up is from Raw Story and from Brad Blog, that both John Conyers, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and Russ Feingold, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, are going to start hearings January 30th and 31st, respectively, where they are going to take a look at some of the stuff you're talking about. Now, you know, I realize, because we talked about it here on the program, that Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid said impeachment is off the table. Okay, maybe it's off the table where they just go in and put the House Judiciary Committee together and start hearing testimony for articles of impeachment. Maybe they're going to do it this way. Well, maybe they're going to let these investigations unfold and find out all this criminal activity and these lies and deception, violations of their oath of office, and then let the people say, get rid of these bastards. Who knows?
Well, that would have been my approach, but like I said, this is like a gift, and it makes more sense to go after the VP first. Because,
Sure.
You know, to me, we might not have, there might not be enough time to get the president. But if they don't do something to show the the seriousness of what this administration has been doing, George Bush will be attacking Iran, without a doubt. I've told my wife this maybe a month or two or more ago, that mm-hmm. this was his plan, mm-hmm. that he's going to attack Iran before he leaves office. And I think that, listening to Cheney this past weekend said, well, we're going to do what we want to do.
Yeah,
and,
but,
you know, if the best we could do is say, well, I mean, in other words, it's like this. What good does it do having the Constitution what does good does it do in the Constitution have it shown that, well, how you go about removing people who do not uphold the Constitution if you're not going to follow
it
should be?
If you don't use it. And that's what we've been talking about on this program, that it's not up to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, not really. It's up to the Constitution.
Well, this type of pragmatism, all it does is encourage people, well, hey, do what Bush and them are doing now. Well, hey, tell them that the country, well, hey, screw you, the country and the Congress. And, you know, that's all I see. It's like, well, we don't want to do it because it might offend somebody. Well, I'm for, you know, upholding the Constitution because it matters mm-hmm. more than George Bush. I mean, we'll get over the fact that, well, hey, a president and a vice president, we will survive if you have faith in the country and what we stand for.
That's right.
All right, Mike, like I say, I'm glad I found you.
I am too, Carl. I thought maybe I pissed you off or something. You decided not to call.
No.
Okay, well, good. Well, then we'll hear from you again. All right?
Yeah, you will. Take care.
Man. Take it easy. Take it easy, Carl. A voice from the Chicago past. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Congress, kneel down and lend a hand. Tell the people liberty must go. There's more to gain in war than peace. Let weapons flow, destabilize the Middle East, enrich the CEO, lie down, people, lay down your Bill of Rights, tell James Madison we had to let those amendments go.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Oh, my daddy, 21 past the hour. Oh, all right. Let's go back to Chris then in Berkeley, who's, I guess the problem is on Chris's end. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, sir.
I'm sorry about that before. I drove through a tunnel the moment you came to me to come on the air with you.
Okay. Well, you're back.
I know, I'm back. Mike, there are a couple of things. The first thing is, you know, all of this stuff lately with Mr. Hagel, it really makes me kind of laugh, makes me kind of sick, because it's just too little too late. All of this tough talk that he and some of his, you know, Republican buddies with their kind of toothless resolutions that they're all kind of bandying around right now, it's, where were they a year ago? Where were these people?
Yeah, and 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, it breaks my heart. And especially, you know, I heard Mr. Rockefeller the other day, and he made a very good statement talking about how much money we've basically flushed down the toilet on this whole, I can't remember what he called it, something like, you know, Bush's escapade or, you know, the game that he's playing with Iraq. You know, I'm a special education teacher in Oakland, California. It's like the most poorly funded, poorly run school district in the state. I mean, it breaks my heart to think about how the money that we've thrown away could have been used here in our own country with the, you know, the vast problems that we have.
You are absolutely right. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. And on top of that, think of the programs that could be funded, education and health care and environmental, just using the tax cuts to the wealthy on top of the cost of this ferociously insane war. These people have absolutely I get a loss for words because I want to cuss and I can't cuss because I'm on the radio. But you understand what I'm saying, what they have done.
I certainly, you know, there's another cruel irony, too. All of these guys speaking about how we could have used funds. These fellas who like to thump their revisionist history books and talk about how everything they're doing is in line with our forefathers and forebears, and we have to protect our liberty and our freedom. Well, the last time, it's been a while since I've cracked a history book, but as I recall, the last time we had to really defend our liberty and freedom here on our own soil was the Battle of New Orleans, when the British were trying to come back and reclaim. So there's this great monument to our liberty and our freedom and our history that they've just let, you know, literally be washed away.
Right, exactly.
It breaks my heart. And, you know, one last thing, Mike, before I want to let you go, but right after Bush came into office, I left the country. I moved out of the country to do some work for a while. It was in August of 2001. And so then 9/11 happened, and I was on the outside looking in, and it was so interesting. First, you know, here in the States, everyone was saying, why, you know, how could people do this to us, and why would anyone attack us here in the United States?
Right.
Well, I was in Brazil. In Brazil, they were with us, as the world was, but they had a very interesting perspective and said, why would somebody attack the United States? And, you know, there I was in South America, Latin America, where they're relationship to North America, United States, you know, is very different. And they've kind of, you know, we've been playing with them for so many years. But then, especially when I came back, too, I was thinking about the comment you had another fellow talking about his memory of his father's home movies or grandfather's home movies of Germany pre-Second World War.
Uh-huh.
I remember coming back to this country and how, in a year and a half's time, how very different this place felt. And American flags everywhere, and it was chilling. I remember going to my own family's house, and it was just the entire town was, and this is right outside New York City, was just American flags everywhere. And everybody was just brainwashed and so angry and confused, and it's only gotten worse, it seems like.
Yeah, the misuse of the flag, turning it into some sort of talismanic symbol, some a warder off of evil spirits, if that's one way to put it. I don't know. It's scary.
It kind of breaks my heart. It's been abused.
It does. I remember the bumper stickers that proliferated after September 11th, 2001. The bumper stickers with usually had a flag on it. And it said things like "God bless America." All of a sudden, people were beseeching some flag waving God to bless America, and variations on that theme. There were several, and then some of the right wing crazy religious freaks in this country turned around and said, "America bless God," and it's just like, you know, this melding of this fundamental or this dominionist Christianity and jingoistic nationalism. To me, it reminded me also, from what I've read and the films I've seen, of Germany in the 30s. Exactly the same thing.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for what you do. It's an honor to talk to you. Good luck to you.
Thanks a lot. My pleasure. Take care, Chris. All right, when we come back, more phone calls. I've got a couple of emails y'all are sending in here. I want to share with you some names. Founders Club members who I guess who have joined up today. I don't know why we only use first name and last initial, but I guess that's the way we're going to do it. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Make sure the world's behaving right. I don't mean to bust your groove. Think it's time we made a move. Freedom isn't free tonight.
Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk. And I love the way you talk. When you walk,
it would be a disaster for governments that have got energy resources to be in the hands of these extremists. They would use energy to extract blackmail from the United States. And when you...
All right, I want to play for you now this little piece of audio. Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes last Sunday interviewing this psychopath, George W. Bush. Listen to this.
Do you think you owe the Iraqi people an apology for not doing a better job?
No, I don't. That we didn't do a better job or they didn't do a better job?
Well, that the United States did not do a better job in providing security after the invasion.
Not at all. I think I'm proud of the efforts we did. We liberated that country from a tyrant. I think the Iraqi people owe the American people a huge debt of gratitude. That's the problem here in America. They wonder whether or not there is a gratitude level that's significant enough in Iraq.
My God. Shakespeare's King Lear said, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child." Compare that to a thankless occupied nation. Hey, George? Rosa Brooks writes, "Yes, I've wondered about their ingratitude. Frankly, I'm talking to you, Iraqis. A few flowers and ticker tape parades wouldn't be amiss, even at this late stage. Remember, we got rid of Saddam Hussein for you. With a little help from his executioners, to be sure, who sent him to his death amid enthusiastic chants and praise of Shiite militia leader Muqtada al-Sadr, but that's just a detail. Anyway, that's not all we've done for Iraq. We also introduced the Iraqis to basic principles of energy conservation. Before the U.S. invasion, the feckless residents of Baghdad used 16 to 24 hours of electricity each day. Today, thanks to us, they thriftily make do with about 6 hours of electricity a day. Under our tutelage, the Iraqis are also conserving fossil fuels. Oil production is still well below pre-war levels, and recognizing that auto emissions are a major contributor to global warming, a symbolically important number of Iraqis have gone from driving their cars to detonating their cars." Now, that's dedication. "We've also helped the Iraqis address the problem of urban overcrowding, with 34,452 Iraqi civilians murdered in 2006 alone, according to the UN, and another 2 million opting to leave the country. The war has reduced the Iraqi population by nearly 10%. Okay, but you're probably still wondering, what constitutes the great sacrifice Bush talks about that we Americans have made to give these gifts to the Iraqis? After all, despite those U.S. troops who've lost lives and limbs in Iraq, more than 3,000 dead and 50,000 wounded so far, it's not like the rest of us are being drafted, right? Don't be so modest. They also serve who only stand and watch television." When Jim Lehrer, PBS's NewsHour dude, suggested to Bush that, quote, "the volunteer military and their families are the only people who are actually sacrificing anything at this point," end quote, the president demurred. He insisted, quote, "a lot of people are in this fight. I mean, they sacrifice peace of mind when they see the terrible images of violence on TV every night," end quote. "Too true. I've given up so much of my peace of mind for this war, yet no Iraqi has so much as sent me a thank you note. In addition to that, I've heeded the president's call to fight terrorism through my, quote, continued participation and confidence in the American economy," end quote. "When my president calls on me to go shopping more, I hop to it. I've walked the malls until my boots were as worn as those of any Marine after a hard slog through the Iraqi desert. Anyway, when he spoke of the great sacrifices we Americans have made for Iraq, the president didn't say the half of it. Modest soul that he is, he didn't even mention the $200 billion annual price tag of the war in Iraq. If we weren't spending $200 billion a year to help the Iraqi people, we could, for instance, be funding universal health care, universal preschool programs. And that's not all. By focusing on Iraq to the near exclusion of all other issues, we're also sacrificing our own national security interests. We're virtually ignoring the resurgence of the Taliban in Afghanistan, Russia's slide towards repression, expanding regional conflicts in Africa, and the ongoing activities of Osama bin Laden. So don't be shy, my fellow Americans. Give yourselves some credit for the sacrifices you're making for Iraq. Just as a soldier hit by an improvised explosive device may at first be too stunned to feel pain, it will take time for you to truly feel the depth of your sacrifice. Rest assured, though it may not hurt now, it will soon. And Cheney gets on CNN yesterday and growls, as Dick Durbin said, like a delusional madman about all the progress we made in Iraq. Wolf, that question's out of line. Things are going fine there. Everything's fine. We have had success after success. And don't mention my daughter. And if you do, I'll have you killed over and over again. And I'll have Scooter Libby killed right in front of you. And from Margaret in Louisville. Dear Mike, I ask you to please let folks know just how important it is that people come to the march in D.C. on Saturday. 11 a.m. Assembly begins for the march on Washington National Mall between 3rd and 7th Streets. Between 11:30 and 1 p.m., a rally. 1 p.m., the march begins. Margaret writes, I didn't even consider going until I heard Gonzalez testify to Congress that the Constitution does not guarantee Americans the right or the privilege of habeas corpus. The enormity of that statement, its influence upon the nation's government, is utterly astounding. That great writ, habeas corpus, established during the Magna Carta's development circa 1215, is the very essence of our civil liberties. Without it, there is no freedom to practice democracy. In other words, without protection from unwarranted imprisonment, all other freedoms are totally dependent on a benign and benevolent government. I've always been against the war in Iraq, but last week, in that single instant when I heard and saw the look on his face, the tone of his voice, my brain finally made the connections in a shocking way. I was chilled to the bone. It was like watching a single drop of poison contaminate a pool of fresh water. And that pool was the only source of drink. You were right. I was staring into the face of a heartless, soulless fascist. Evil. I am sick. I am poor. I am underemployed. I am going. Margaret, and her last name, Louisville, Kentucky. Barb in Seattle writes, Mike, read today that the 10th Mountain Division in Afghanistan is having their tour extended by 4 months. And here in Washington State, we're losing kids from our striker brigade almost on a daily basis. It all makes me sick. I wonder if there has been any analysis of the number of troops or Marines killed while Bush sat on his ass thinking about what he was going to do. Of course, he wound up deciding that was to ignore everything so he could continue to play his little war game. I hope there's some way to rescind all his signing statements and hold him to the law, but I doubt it. I'm left with the sinking feeling that this standing up to Bush is coming too late to save not only our kids in Iraq, Afghanistan, and every other place where they're in danger, but to save this country. I refuse to fly a flag, wear a flag pin, or have any other demonstration of this country. I also refuse to say the Pledge of Allegiance, not because of the under God part, but where it says, with liberty and justice for all. Barb in Seattle. We're really at a tipping point, aren't we? We really, really are. I wonder if we'll handle it. From Democrats.com, regarding the march in Washington, it says the corporate media has finally deigned to notice a huge demonstration is gathering its forces to descend on Washington January 27th through the 29th to protest dear leaders' escalation of the Iraq war, One problem seems to be the reporter is suffering from the Main Street media's collective amnesia regarding the largest demonstration in the country's history since Bush drove us into this war of aggression. What about the 500,000 people who showed up in December in D.C. September 24th, 2005? And here's the article. Anti-war groups plan Washington rally. By Larry Margasak, Associated Press. Anti-war activists, unions, and other national organizations promise a large protest rally Saturday against the Iraq war. Groups say they have chartered hundreds of buses and expect thousands of people to descend on the National Mall for the demonstration west of the Capitol. Organizers said Wednesday the protest is part of an effort that will include lobbying congressional offices next week. There previously have been two large demonstrations in New York City that rivaled Vietnam-era protests in size. One was just before the invasion of Iraq in 2003. The other came on the eve of the 2004 National Republican Convention.
This is what they do. And as Democrats.com points out, what about the 500,000 of us who showed up in December in D.C., September 24th, 2005? What about the several hundred thousand that showed up prior to the invasion? I hate these people. God, I hate them. Fourth estate, my ass. They're supposed to help us make decisions by keeping us informed.
I'm sorry. I know that sounds very quaint. Back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Leaders wouldn't fight in that conference room.
Sometimes I'm happy, you know, but wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
Oh, my. Okay, I think we have a monkey on the line. It's 10 before the hour. Mark, calling from Maryland. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Mark.
Hey, I got three points that I want to touch on real quick. First off, which branch of service did you ever serve in?
I was a gaucho on the Pampas.
Huh?
I was a gaucho on the Pampas. I served in cavalry unit, a gaucho on the Pampas.
I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know any of whatever it is you're saying. But, okay, now, what area is Dick Cheney and George Bush just going and picking people out of a crowded mall or something? And saying, okay, you're going to the war, you're going to the war, you're going to the war. Because you made a comment at the 9:15.
Well, they're not picking it. They're not picking them out of. They're not picking them out of malls. They're taking entire National Guard and Reserve units that are supposed to be here defending this country if we're attacked by some outside force. And they're not going to malls. Are you out of your mind?
Okay, so they joined on their own free will, right?
Not to go fight a war in Iraq. They didn't.
What did they join the army for? To deliver
to not to deliver pizzas. They joined the army to the reserves because some of them wanted education. You've seen the commercials. Hold on a second. Now hold on. Put him on hold. Put him on hold or disconnect him. I really don't give a goddamn when I get a freak like this, but I will try to answer your question, moron. Most people join the reserves and the National Guard because they want to serve their country. They don't want to serve a Nazi dictator who sends them half around the world to murder innocent civilians. Now, take him back off hold and let's see if he can talk again. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
All right, now mind your manners or I'm going to just get rid of you. I don't need to listen to your crap. If you want to call in and get porky with me, I'll play with you for a while, but mind your manners. I don't know how your mama raised you or what kind of church you went to, but mind your manners. Do you understand me?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, good. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so Okay, they joined a volunteer army to protect our country, which the highest command in the army or in any guard or in any branch of service is the commander-in-chief, which is the president, correct?
That doesn't work that way with National Guard units or reserve units or the United does with the regular army, but only
okay.
if you are a very ignorant young man. Only if there is a declared war and the President of the United States decides to take over command and control of the National Guard. Otherwise, it's under the control. That's what they talk about in the Second Amendment, about a well-regulated militia. I'll tell you what, Mark, I'm going to hang up on you because you're one of the dumbest little snots I've had on this program in a long time. Go get educated and then, you know, figure all this stuff out. Figure out how to talk properly. First of all, get some manners. Like I said, I don't know how your mother raised you, but that really sucks. Secondly, find out how the United States military works. Third, open your ears, get the Republican Rush Limbaugh crap out of your ears, and listen to some military recruiting commercials on television or the radio, how they talk about you're looking for a job, you're looking for education, you want to make some money. Try to clean out your brain. Although if they've got you this brainwashed, you sound like you're about 19 or 20. If they've got you this brainwashed, it raises the question, how's come you're not in uniform? All right? Our troops did not volunteer to go die in Iraqi civil war, you moron. What does getting involved in a civil war of some other country have to do with this toy punk-ass commander-in-chief that we have? They also didn't join the military to go to a war based on lies about non-existent weapons of mass destruction and terrorists that didn't exist in the country until we tore it to pieces. And they didn't join the military to be Bush or Cheney's private death squad to obtain the oil resources of the Middle East and to protect the sovereignty of Israel. And I don't consider that Bush was ever legally elected, by the way, but it's nutty to say that the president can just send the troops wherever he wants for whatever evil purposes he wants. You, young master man, had better sit down and read the Constitution. Read what the powers of the various powers, the legislative branch, the executive branch, and judicial branch, read what they powers are vested in them by the Constitution, you half-wit. God, I hate ignorance. And do you consider Hegel or Warner to be terrorist sympathizers? They, as do I, and 99.9 of the people who participate in this program, support the military. That's why we're trying to save their lives, you half-ass! Now, don't ever call me again because I don't like ignorance. And you, young man, are one of the most ignorant little punks ever to call the program. Start your Rush Limbaugh screaming as soon as I pick up the phone. Jesus. Well, there's an endless supply of this weird strain of DNA. It's just out there. You know, when you're driving around in the first place, you should be sensible enough not to call a talk show when you're driving your whatever the hell you drive. Man. It just gives me the shivers. Jesus, God. You know, ignorance is curable, but that kind of stupidity is just terminal. I don't speak Spanish. Let me try again. I told you what I did in the military. I was a gaucho on the pampas. Halfwit. Where do these people come from? Ill-mannered little punks? You know, I truly do wonder if... oh, never mind. Wasted too much time on them already. All right, we'll take a break and come back. Back to your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Ray in Turner, Oregon, sent this in about regarding Bush's comments to on the news hour, Jim Lehrer, about how the Iraqis should be grateful. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, it was on CBS on 60S, the Scott Pelley interview. He said other nonsense to Lehrer. Ray writes in, there was a news story on Democrats.com during the beginning of the invasion in Iraq that I can never forget. An Iraqi woman and her two daughters were in a car that was caught in a hail of gunfire. In the blaze of bullets, gunfire, smoke, and shattering glass, the heads of the two daughters of this woman were completely shot off their bodies. It was reported that the mother survived. If she did, I'm sure by now she has gone completely mad or has become one of the hundreds of thousands of dead Iraqis who should be thanking us for liberating them. Yeah, and that just goes on and on. I had to stop a year or so ago from looking at the pictures of the wounded and dead and blown to pieces, children and adults, but especially the children. If you have children, you can't tolerate the even the idea of war. I mean, you really can't, not unless you're have been so brainwashed. There was a piece on, was it ABC? I forget what I watched tonight. I guess it was NBC. About the 12 Americans that were on board that helicopter that was shot down in Iraq. Not the private contractor helicopter where the insurgents came up, or somebody came up and put a bullet in each one of their heads, Blackwater people, but legitimate soldiers. And these were mostly National Guard. As a matter of fact, I think they were all National Guard. This was the biggest loss of National Guardsmen and one woman in a single instance since the Korean War. Can you believe that? And this little punk ass that called in a few minutes ago before the break talking to me about people joining up. These were people who were in one of the men was a doctor, but NBC took a couple of minutes and profiled each one of them, and these were people in for the most part their 30s, 40s. I think a couple of them were in their early 50s. These were people who were still wearing the uniform because they still felt the need to give back to the country, not to go into a civil war and have as commander-in-chief a psychopath. And it was so sad because some of these people left grandchildren. And then, of course, as media does, and I think it's very effective when they do it, they showed a 3 or 4-year-old son of one of these dead soldiers that was shot down in that National Guard helicopter. And they showed the little boy. He was back here in the States when his mother had set out a couple of sheets, cardboard with pictures of his daddy, big chunks of, slabs of cardboard. And the kid was just kind of bouncing around. There's daddy and me when we're playing cards. There's daddy. You know, no concept of death or what has happened to his father, none whatsoever. And, you know, I think about this. This is something Kathy and I have to think about because I am the age I am, and we have a 2.5-year-old. As a matter of fact, we had a discussion the other day. How would we explain to Molly if I were to, have a heart attack or stroke or whatever and just keel over dead? Well, you know, how do you explain that to a 2.5-year-old? I guess in that instance, the concept of heaven or something is good, and we don't have that, and we're certainly not going to say that kind of nonsense to Molly. But how do you explain that to a child? And in the course of our talking about that, we started thinking about all these children of young men who signed up to go in the National Guard or the Army Reserve or to get an education or for the signing bonus or because they needed a job. Or because they thought it was the thing to do, they honestly believe after 9/11 that they were going to defend this country against terrorism, and it turns out that they were totally lied to and turned into uniformed whores by this goddamn filthy, disgusting Rumsfeld, Bush, and Cheney. and their lives were snuffed out because of the sickness of these three people. I'm sure a lot of people joined the military out of sense of duty and patriotism after this country was, so the official story goes, hit by terrorists on September 11th. But as anyone with a third grade education could figure out, tracking down the people who ordered that hit, if it occurred the way it occurred, which we all have doubts about, but if it did, tracking down the organizers, not the perps that died in the hijackers, but the people who organized it, that had to have had it, if it occurred the way the Bush crime family says it occurred, which we know is a lie, but if it did, it would have required a massive backup system, massive planning, logistical support, all sort of financial support, all sorts of things. And that doesn't take the invasion of a country. You can't discover all that with the invasion of a country. You go into a clandestine mode. You hire the Israeli Mossad. They'll find him. You hire ex-KGB agents, and you turn loose some American FBI investigators, and you send them out, and you say, go get them. But that's not how it was handled, because Bush is a killer and a liar and a hypocrite, and Cheney is worse, and Rumsfeld is a sick old bastard that someday soon will soon, I'm sure, will step up this mortal coil and into the arms of Satan. But all those young men and a few young women who joined out of a sense of patriotism, like, oh my God, we were hit by terrorists. I want to fight back. And there was an element of that. There certainly was. And then we find out that every single one of those people who joined since September 11th joined under false pretenses, lied to by these rat bastards in the Bush crime family. That's the part that is just unbelievable. So when I get a caller like this freak Mark, who has absolutely no sense of anything, nothing, not even a clue of what's going on, what's swirling around him in his own country, his own society, his own government, not a clue. I just think to myself, Jesus Christ, that's the reason I think Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh on Fox News you know the names. These people should be taken out and just dumped on an island someplace and eliminated from society, gotten out of our faces, because they poison the atmosphere. They fill it with lies and distortions. And then you have some young punk like this who can't think, who can't get a grip on what really is happening. And can only find comfort in vomiting up the slogans and words and sentences that have been put into his head. It's so sad. It really is. But the astonishing audacity of George Bush to say to Scott Pelley, and you know, these people should appreciate what we've done for them. You know, between his father and Bill Clinton and him, we have murdered probably 2 or 3 million Iraqis. Not soldiers, not combatants, civilians. We have salted their little patch of desert with depleted uranium that will cause deformed fetuses to grow into deformed children for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 generations. We have blown their society into a million pieces. We have reduced it to chaos and madness. We have unleashed animalistic hate between these various and disparate groups there. We have shattered a 6 or 7,000, 10,000-year-old cradle of civilization. We have defecated and urinated and vomited all over these people. And then Bush has the audacity, the ignorance, the murderous, whatever it is, to sit there and say to Scott Pelley, you know, they should appreciate what we've done for them.
doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
UnitedForPeace.org, that's the best place you can go to get information about what's going to happen this Saturday. If you can't make it to D.C., like a lot of us will not, there are other demonstrations around the country, and this is the day to let this Bush crime family understand that we're not going to take it anymore. This should probably be the last peaceful demonstration. It's getting that serious. Very quickly here, this is from Kurt in Portland. Evening, Mike and Kathy. I just bit the bullet and subscribed to the Founders Club for a year to help keep and get my, quote, drug of choice, end quote, on the air. I'm out of work on medical leave and about to probably be yet again unemployed, but I feel voices like yours, scarily similar to my own, and concepts like Nova M are more important right now than using that $100 for anything else. Thanks for all you and Kathy do to express the voices of the left. Sincerely, Kurt in Portland. And I noticed these names. Kurt K. You know, I guess it's just we just don't mention last names anymore. Jeff W., Ryan R., Mary F., Michael L., Charles E. C., Neil G., James H., Jan Z., Corinne D. C., Gregory G., Kurt K., that's, hey, you made it to both lists here. Brian S., Gabriel S., Kenneth B., David A., and Jamie M. Thanks to everybody who is joining the Founders Club at Nova M. It's important that you do that if you can. We certainly invite you to do it. Go to novamradio.com. Take a look at the website, and you'll find out what this is all about. By the way, I've had several requests for the mailing address to join Nova M's Founders Club. Not everyone, like I mentioned earlier in the program tonight, wants to pay by credit card or through PayPal, or maybe you want to get a gift subscription. Anyway, the info on how to do that is up on MikeMalloy.com. It's over there on the right side of the main page, Action Alert. And, oh, by the way, there are new pics of Molly up in the gallery. So two reasons to go to MikeMalloy.com. And the reason we talk, you know, it's probably irritating to some people. Well, the talk show host is talking about his kid. Well, no, you don't understand. People who have been following this program for a number of years were real aware of all the fun Kathy and I had spending years trying to get pregnant and then being pregnant and then joining Air America when Molly was, what, 6 days old? 6 days old. We're in the studio with a newborn. Trying to get things set up to go to work for Air America. So, and we have kind of shared that with our listeners over the 2.5-3 years that Molly's 2.5 now, but 6 months prior to her birth, you know, we just included people in on it as best as you can be included on something that's going on in somebody else's life. And you all have responded by sending us pictures. We've gotten all kinds of baby pictures from listeners. And there's something about baby pictures that, frankly, I love. I could just look at baby pictures forever, ever. There's no such thing as an ugly baby. They're all just gorgeous, little, wonderful. Oh. So that was just our way of... So Molly's 2.5 now, and over the years, we have, over these past 30 months, we have just added, periodically we add pictures. So two reasons to go to MikeMalloy.com tonight. Check out the pictures of Molly in the gallery, and also the mailing address if you want to drop a check in to Nova M, to the Founders Club. All right? Okay. Enough with the business. Lauren emailed in. She's quoting from Bush's speech the other night. The quote is, "A second task we can take on together," this is Bush talking, "is to design and establish a volunteer civilian reserve corps." Whew. "Such a corps would function much like our military reserve. It would ease the burden on the armed forces by allowing us to hire civilians with critical skills to serve on missions abroad when America needs them. It would give people across America who do not wear the uniform a chance to serve in the defining struggle of our time," end quote.
And Lauren writes, thus spake the idiot son last night. Are the civilians contractors? Are they a militarized police force to arrest you Americans? Oh, she's from Canada. this is Bush's his obvious attempt to disguise what they're talking about private contractors. But listen to what he's saying. A volunteer civilian reserve corps that would function much like our military service, but it wouldn't be military. Therefore, it wouldn't come under the control of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It would be something. It would be like the brown shirts, Hitler's brown shirts. You all understand that, right? I mean, you understand what this son of a bitch is saying. These are like the brown shirts that eventually were eliminated by the SS, because the SS, the military aspect of the SS, realized that the brown shirts were nothing but thugs. And so slowly but surely, Hitler's brown shirts were eliminated. But this is what Bush is trying to establish, the same thing.
Your host for a Pience Brian's Future, it's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, 25 before the hour. Let's go back to your phone calls here. Jeremy is calling from Huntington Beach. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fine.
I just read something yesterday you might be interested in. Says basically, in the United States, there were congressional efforts to condemn Iraq at the time of the massacres and the gassing of the Kurds, but the Reagan administration had blocked them. It would not permit condemnation. Furthermore, the Reagan and Bush and senior administrations continued to provide very significant armaments to Iraq after that, including the means to develop weapons of mass destruction, missiles, biological weapons, and so on. That was kind of interesting.
Yes, indeed.
That's about it.
That's it? That's all you got tonight, Jeremy?
That's it, man. I just thought it was interesting that Reagan had actually blocked all condemnations of Saddam Hussein for gassing the Kurds.
Yeah. Well, that's
they
because
they tried to make like they didn't know about it or something.
Well, you got to understand, the Kurds have been a threat to the Turks since the, officially since the end of World War One, when the Ottoman Empire was ended. And the Turks also have been an ally of the United States all through the Cold War. We had missile launching sites in Turkey. That's what was traded off allegedly for the Russian missiles in Cuba. They said they would dismantle their launch facilities in Cuba. The Russians would if we got rid of ours in Turkey. So we owe something to the Turks in the terms of the Cold War, and the way we paid it back was allowing Saddam free rein to murder as many Kurds as possible, because the Kurds and the Turks are not what you would call friends. I'm sure you know all this, so that's the reason.
I didn't know all of that. No, I know that a lot of this happened during the Iran-Iraq war, too, and that was kind of their side project with gassing the Kurds, because we were supporting their war against Iran, and so that's when some of this happened. So they were you know, Washington, Bush, Rumsfeld himself was doing everything they could to actually protect the reputation of Hussein during all this, so that they
absolutely. So it was a several front deal here. We wanted, Iran had the audacity after they got rid of the Shah, so to speak, to actually form their own government after we had overthrown it back in the 50s. So we were pissed off at the Iranians for what they did in 79. So when we encouraged Saddam to attack Iran, which was a huge mistake, and there were a couple of million. It became a war of attrition. It went on for how long? 6 years? 7 years? It was horrifying. 8 years? It was horrifying. And in that,
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in that period of time, and I'm sure you do know this, Reagan and all the animals, half-humans that surrounded Reagan, encouraged Saddam to be as vicious and vile and murderous as he wanted to be against the Iranians and the Kurds. So it was like a twofer in supporting Saddam all those years. As he attacked the Kurds, it was kind of a gimme to the Turks, and it was punishing the Iranians for having the nerve to have a revolution and throw out our puppet.
You would think a so-called liberal media would, talk about these things. A huge farsighted. We'll see what happens. Who's arguing for the, Equal Time Act here? We'll see who's arguing against that, and see how liberal the media really is.
Yeah, you got that right. All right. Well, I'm glad you called in.
Thanks.
Take care, Jeremy.
Bye.
Bye. Will is calling from Michigan. Hey, Will, you all set to go to D.C.?
Yeah, Mike. First thing I plan to do when I get there is to go to 700 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest and check on the Constitution, make sure it's still there in one piece and doesn't have any smelly brown stains on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of hearing what's off the table.
Yeah.
And, as far as I'm concerned, the voters set the table, not Congress.
Well, that's...
It's their job to cook Bush's goose.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. At least that's the way it is in theory. But Bush and his crime family... have done everything, and the Republicans, especially the Republicans, who are incipient little Nazis. No, they're not Nazis. They're cowards. And what they've done is tried to strengthen the executive branch because they want Daddy to be able to smack everybody upside the head if they get out of line.
Well, war has been a motivator to amend the Constitution. I mean, look at the Vietnam War. Veterans came home.
Mm-hmm.
They were 18 when they went to war, and the voting age was 21. And they came back and they brought the voting age down to 18.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I think this war could be a motivator to amend the Constitution again separate the powers of the executive branch. In the absence of a congressionally declared war.
Yeah, the War Powers Act that was passed a couple of decades ago. When is the War Powers Act? I'm getting fuzzy now, but
early 70s.
Yeah, needs to be done away with because it absolutely negated the power of the Congress to make declarations of war, and it was only done because of the insanity of a 50, 60-year-long Cold War with the Soviet Union and all the proxy wars that we fought. And had it not been for the War Powers Act, there would be an awful lot of Americans and people in other countries right now who would still be alive and fulfilling whatever their mission was on Earth, but they are dead or had arms and legs or heads blown off. It's just... you're right. I don't know if it takes a constitutional amendment or if it just takes the Congress of the United States to say, okay, enough of this, enough of this.
So. I think the powers of the commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy need to be restricted in the absence of a congressionally declared war.
Well, that's a good idea. Way back when that commander-in-chief stuff was put into effect, You know, it was the 18th century, for God's sake. You know, when you have a series of presidents who never served in the military, much less in combat, ordering people into wars, and then you couple that with you get a couple of psychopaths in there, like Pappy Bush and George Bush, or you get some a weak sister who decides to go along with the herd, like Bill Clinton, and the damage that can be done and the death that can be caused is just incalculable. I said one time a couple of years ago that I didn't, as long as we're going to use war as a means of exporting U.S. policy, foreign policy, then as uncivilized and sick as that is, as long as we're going to do it, we should make a requirement for being president of the United States. We have requirements already. You have to be a native-born American. You have to be 35 years old, yada, yada, yada. It should also include only people who have served in combat. Why? Because only people who have served in combat, assuming that they are still rational in their thinking, and haven't flipped over into prolonged stress disorders, only people who have served in combat understand the futility of it in modern times now, and how murderous and sick and debilitating to the human spirit war really is. And a person who has served in combat would be so much less inclined to order other people to go do it.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Mike.
Well, there you go. Thanks, Will. Stay in touch, okay?
No problem.
All right, yeah. Sir. Take care. Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Hey, Sarge.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing.
Look, I wasn't going to mention Katrina tonight, but I thought for a while there you was going to touch on everything I wanted to talk about.
I left something out.
Well, look, I wanted to, first, before I say anything, I want everyone to go to unreportednews.net and read Leonard's article.
That was the article he got. I read it earlier tonight. That was the one that got him in trouble.
Right. It was the one that got him busted.
Got him busted, right.
And so I think everybody would really enjoy this one, because what he got busted for was exactly what Bush does not want you to know.
That's right. And this is about 4th of July, a year and a half ago. When,
that's right.
Almost 2 years ago, when Gonzalez came over to Iraq and landed in the green zone. And I was going to mention, I'm glad it got out of my mind, Sarge. I'm glad you brought it up. Folks, go to unreportednews.net. And read this column by Sarge's military columnist there.
And this is one of those guys that jerk that called in earlier doesn't know about.
Yeah, that's true. Hold on a second, Sarge.
Sure,
I got to do a break here. We'll be back. This is Nova M Radio.
I come from Texas. 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 I come from Texas. Texas. Texas, 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 Texas.
The new Prime Minister of India is, no. Mass destruction.
Before the hour, thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program tonight, answer your calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, the militant moderators at MikeMoy.com. Go to NovaMRadio.com and sign up for downloads and podcasts, okay? And a lot of that is handled by Ben Birch. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. Back to Sarge in Mississippi. Thanks for holding on, Sarge. Where were we? Yo, Sarge.
Okay. Well, let me tell you about what I was going to say. You know, the one thing that's really interesting is Bush is doing everything for the Iraqis that he's doing for us Americans. He's lost whole cities. He's devastated total areas, like, you know. He's taken away their freedoms, what little they had to start with. I mean, hey, look what the man has done.
Oh,
they're another America now.
Yeah.
Wow, right in the Middle East. Isn't that remarkable?
It's just awful.
But now, I'll tell you something that I am looking into that Bush is doing here, though. I have accidentally stumbled upon a nursing home problem.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these strange little rules they have, like you have to give them 30-day notice before you can leave the nursing home. Excuse me, I'm going to be well in 30 days. Okay, thank you.
Oh, my God.
I have recently found that out, and we're doing an investigation. I'm going to have a story, my initial story about it, up tomorrow. But I think it's going to turn into something that's sweeping the nation, and I believe the Bush crime family's involved. It all started around Katrina time.
Well, I look forward to see what you can dig up, Sarge.
I'm going to let you go. I just wanted to alert you to that, especially Leonard, and tell you how great Bush did putting America in the Middle East.
Yes, he did.
Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Sarge. I appreciate it. Yeah, go to unreportednews.net and read Leonard's column. He wrote it some time ago, and it's... from Linda, hi Mike, I really hope Nova M Radio and you all do great. I joined the Founders Club on Monday the 22nd. My screen name is also my DU screen name, Ralps. I hope you, Kathy, and Molly have a great day tomorrow and a great weekend. Linda. Thanks, Linda. Email here from, well, he or she didn't sign. On Hegel, I mentioned when we talked about Hegel, it was nice to hear him say that, but don't be fooled by Chuck Hegel. If you really want to know what this guy's about, go to votesmart.org. It's vote-smart.org, and just find Hegel. The Right to Life Coalition gives him 100%. Planned Parenthood gives him 0%. Christian Coalition gives him 100%. NAACP, 5%. Human Rights Campaign, 0%. American Wilderness Coalition, 0%. Defenders of Wildlife, 0%. And on and on and on. And as my emailer says, a pure right-winger, he has consistently allied himself with all the major players on the right, but one very important group of players has recently discovered that they made a very big mistake in backing the PNAC plan for world domination via military conquest. Big money. They bought, literally, the delusions of the neocon Straussian APAC group and put them into power with the expectation that the world's largest military could bring them truly unchallenged strategic power in the world by gaining control over the Middle East as a first step. Well, reality showed itself, and the Baker Group was formed to find a way to salvage the failed conquest. But Chimpy and his master Darth have refused to cooperate. Once a backer of the invasion, now Hegel is putting himself forward as corporate imperialism's savior by siding with the Baker-Hamilton Iraq Study Group and denouncing the full steam ahead into the abyss plans of the frat boys. This gives him the same set of backers that put those monsters into power in 2001. Be afraid. Yeah, Hegel, it's a shame that he's so corrupted. Chuck Hegel, but he is, and I think my correspondent here is absolutely right. The big money people are freaking out because this is not the way it was supposed to happen. You see, the way it was supposed to happen was just a cakewalk: go into the Middle East, take over Iraq, take over Afghanistan, pinch Iran into non-existence, eventually push the Saudi royal family into some. Terrorist emeritus position and get their oil fields. It just, none of it worked out. So big money now is, the real driving force behind American freedom and democracy is really freaking now. So who do they go to? They got to find somebody. Chuck Hegel. Chuck Hegel. Step out there, Chuck. Make it sound like you really give a damn. Yeah, okay. We got about a minute. John is calling from Missouri. John, I know you've been holding on forever. Is this Dr. John? No,
this is John in Missouri.
John, Missouri. Hey, John. I got about a minute,
hey,
pal. Yeah.
I got a minute. Okay. For people like Mark that called in, anybody that knows him, they need to drag him directly to a recruiter. I think you handled it well. I made my wife grab the phone and I called you immediately. I've got two little brothers in the Marines, and yeah, they joined for all the reasons you discussed while I was on hold.
Right.
But, you know, Matt was home for Christmas, and we were discussing the Munich, which, of course, you know, that's about how Israel handled their terror strike. And, you know, that's the way we should have handled it. And here's a guy in the Marines that realizes that. He joined for the right reasons,
mm-hmm.
but he found out, you know, he's being led by a commander-in-chief that is insane, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, and these guys who did sign up and the women who signed up, they have contracts now that have to be, unless
they're stuck.
Yeah, they can resign a commission, but they can't resign if they're non-com or below that. And it's horrible what's happened. John, we're out of time. We'll talk again, pal. I'm sorry.
Thanks, brother.
Sorry to cut you off. We got to go. By the way, that comment, I was a gaucho on the Pampas, that I said a couple of times to the freak that called in, that's a line from an old Murray Roman comedy album from, oh God, back in late 60s, early 70s. All the Germans, the German high command, the German military that moved to Argentina after the war, and when they were questioned, what did you do during the war? I was a gaucho on the Pampas. I'll see you tomorrow night, all right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.